Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, I thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, as we awaken this morning and we took our first breath, Lord, as we awaken, Lord, we know that it's because of your grace and mercy, Lord, that we can get up and walk and plan for the day, come to church, Lord, whatever it is that we do with our children or our loved ones, Lord, it is because you take care of us, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. We are thankful that you love us like you do. And Lord, we just want to bless you with, even if it's a fraction, Lord, of what you give to us, Lord, we want to bless you with that. Lord, thank you for your presence in this place. And we invite your Holy Spirit, have your way. We praise you, Lord. And as we go into the first song, if you would remain standing. After that, like I said, feel free. Feel free even to move around the building, whatever it is that the Lord would guide you to do. Amen.
You know, it doesn't have to be just sickness. It doesn't have to be anything like that. The Bible, it tells us that we overcome all things, right? So it's even the little things in our lives that we think are, some people might think they're not that much. You know what I mean? Like, see, there's things that people don't even realize come against them sometimes, like depression or anxiety or these things that have kind of become more of a thing now, right? But God never desired that people would have to run to the doctor for that. See, He tells us that if He comes to us, He'll give us rest. The same thing that He tells us that his burden, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. See, these things are to tell us that those feelings of anxiety, those feelings of depression, those feelings that you might go through that maybe somebody's struggling with, they're not meant for you to carry. See, they're meant for you to give it to God. See, He's waiting for people to realize that if you just look at me in everything, I'm gonna give you a hallelujah to raise even when you don't feel like it, because you got promises. You got things that God wants to give you that are freely given. See, that's the amazing thing. You never had to pass any certain kind of test of are you qualified. You never had to meet any standard of are you qualified enough for it. See, God gave His only Son. Put all our sins on Him and had Him pay a price when we were never necessarily qualified. But He said, you're my children and you're worth it. You're worth it. So I'll give freely because I want you to have everything. See, and it's just us that has to choose to walk into it, to take it, to say, I want all of it, not just a little bit. I don't want to just have parts that I give to you, but I want to give all of it. Every single piece, every worry, every bit of anxiety, depression, whatever it might be. See, He wants us to have peace that passes all understanding and joy, right? So those two things right there already say that if that's happening in your life, it's not what God has for you. So I just want to encourage you this morning, because I can really feel it. There are times when I stand up here and I can feel things, and it's like, do you know when dogs have zoomies? I feel like I could do that around the church. Like, let's just run and let's just enjoy, because that's the thing, is it's this overwhelming feeling of love that I can feel God's pouring out. And there's sometimes where when I'm looking out, I have to remind myself, just keep going. Because there's times where when I look out and I see you guys just stand there, I'm like, they don't even realize what God's pouring out right now freely to them, so that they can be in a place, in a presence of just rest and peace and enjoyment, and where he can just flow through and give you things that you're wanting, break through some things, break chains, bring down walls. See, he wants to do all this stuff for you. Church is a conduit, right? You can do all this stuff at home. But that's the thing, is sometimes when you come and we're doing it with our family, right? Because that's what the body of Christ is, right? We're all a family together. It can uplift and it can encourage, right? It can show us some things, just like when kids go to school. It can show you some things, and you can hear some things that you take in. But see, God will do all of the same things at home, one-on-one, and even more if you continue pressing in. So this is just enjoyment. You can enjoy the presence of God. You can let go of the things from the week. You can say, whatever it was, I'm shaking it off. I'm enjoying the presence of God, and I'm going to go after what he has for me. I'm going to raise hallelujahs even if I don't feel them, and I'm going to know that I serve a God who's told me that I am more than a conqueror, and that I have victory in every area of my life. To shout about, that's something to get excited about. It's something that it's okay to feel like, yeah, I got something good and I'm glad I got it, right? So let's just enjoy his presence this morning.
Woo. I want to share something that the Lord shared with me this week. You know, we've been walking through a journey. We say trial, yes, trial, but it's our journey. Like, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And as I've been walking out this trail and this journey, you know, in some parts a little rocky, some are cliffs, some are smooth sailing. But you know what the Lord said to me? He said, daughter, I've clothed you in a velvety robe. And when you wiggle underneath that velvet, it's like you're itchy and squirmy. He said, I've given you a robe that is part of your kingdom clothing, and you stand in my kingdom. And he taught me to pick myself up and enjoy my robe and enjoy my presence in his kingdom as his daughter. It's my identity, and it's something that nobody, no matter whatever happens in this world, can ever take from me. Nothing anybody ever does, no matter what you do to me, take from me. I mean, it's our kingdom identity, and it extends to my family. And I declare it and I decree it in the name of Jesus. And as my father gave me the right to stand in his velvety robe in his kingdom, I stand strong in the body of Christ. And so I want to thank you and encourage you guys to know that you are clothed in velvety righteousness. And it is righteousness, isn't it? Your kingdom clothing. So don't wiggle under it, but stand up under it and stand, because he's called you for such a time as this.
This morning when I was coming to church, there was a story on that was given on K-Love Radio or whatever. And I was talking about this gentleman heard from his friend that he was out in the yard working on doing his landscaping. And as he stood back, all of a sudden, a snake wiggled out and it was near him. And he was a little bit queasy and scared. All of a sudden, this bald eagle swooped down, picked up the snake, took it away. And took it off into the sky. And he was relating to this as the way And when we were singing this song, I Raise a Hallelujah, the snake didn't stay down on the ground and eat it. He took it up. And so it's parallel with us. Whenever we're having problems, we should take our problems to the sky. And so the Lord told us that we're supposed to soar like an eagle. Amen. And so, if we look back to, let me see, Isaiah 40, 31. Let me see if I can get that. Let me see. We're going to go back a little bit further than right when there's part about the eagles. It says that in Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard surface has become completed and that her sin has been paid for and that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all your sins. Like a voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up and every mountain shall be made low. Every ground shall become level and the rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice cried out, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like flowers of the field that withers and falls. But the breath of the Lord blows on them, and surely people are grass, and grass withers. Who shall bring good news? Let's go down to where he's talking about the eagle. Okay. Yeah, 31. Here we go. 31. But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. But the other thing about this song, or Raise a Hallelujah, it brought to mind whenever a friend of mine, I was in Florida, and she was going through the hurricanes, and the electric was out, and all of this was going on. And she called to me and asked for prayer because her husband was on oxygen and they couldn't get oxygen to him because of electricity being out and the roads and everything. And so the Lord had me send her a link to sing this song. And she told me as she was singing it and praising it and raising her hallelujah, within 15 minutes, a vehicle came to her with the oxygen that they needed. And so raising the hallelujah is an important thing in us, that we take our problems and all the things that are happening in our lives and raise it up to him.
I'm sure you all know that when you ask Jesus into your heart, that at that time you were filled with this Holy Spirit. And I'm sure you all understand that you became the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit. And some of the things that happen is that you are now should be different than who you were. And who you are and what comes forth from you should come from a different source. Now it's the Holy Spirit that's giving that source. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And probably most of you already have it down what they are. It says love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That should be who you are. That should be what you exuberate from your being. And sometimes what I wanted to share right now is that sometimes, even though those things are there, that we can still kind of go out of our way and give out other fruits that are not of His Holy Spirit. And we can justify that. We find different ways to justify our actions, to justify our behaviors. And you think about one of the fruit of the spirits that I put down here is peace. Well, if you worry, then you don't have peace, right? So right away, that takes away that fruit that you should be portraying. So what happens with worry? That also says that you don't have trust. If we're worried, then we're not trusting that God's going to take care of us. How about self-control? We're supposed to be that example of knowing how to behave, and most of the time when somebody comes at us, we retaliate. It's our instinct to just kind of go back with the way that they came at you. That shouldn't be us. Sometimes we can draw this fine line and say, well, I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. You're worried. Okay? And so just fine lines. Frustration. I don't get angry. I just get frustrated. Fine line, right? How about forgiveness? You forgive somebody, and then you don't want nothing to do with them. You avoid them. Did you really forgive? So there's certain things that we justify and we say, it's okay. I'm still in that place that God wants me to be. And so I just wanted to bring that up today. What fruit are you producing? And to maybe go back to Sunday school and look at Galatians 5 again and just see, are you there? Is that what's inside of you, what that Holy Spirit is showing those around you? We're supposed to be different than everybody else. We're supposed to be that example. So I think that's all I needed to say. Just that fine line that sometimes we say, that's okay. I did that, but that's okay. Maybe it's not. Thank you.
Let's give him a hand clap. Let's praise his name. Let's say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Thank you for all that you've done, God. God, we thank you for who you are in our lives, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. So give somebody a real quick hug. Hallelujah. Say, I'm glad you're here today. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about you today. Can you say amen? Come on, everybody. Woo! Glory to God. Let's talk about y'all. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know it's good to be in the house of God?
Amen.
How many know it's good to be in the presence of God? Glory to God. Aren't you glad that God will spend time with us? Can you say amen? God, aren't you glad He dwells in us? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, God's given me a message for us today. Everybody say, come on, amen. You say, come on. Hallelujah. I want you to lean in on this message. Everybody lean forward a little bit. Lean forward in your chair. Say, God wants you to lean in on this message. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Absorb whatever it is that God wants for you today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God is good. There's nothing and there's nobody like Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He is able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think. Can you say amen? Well, that's a cheap amen, ain't it? Come on, say amen. Yeah, God is able. Can you say amen? To do far more abundantly above all that we ask or think. Whew. Glory to God. And I'm expecting to see all. And more than what I can think. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, God, can I tell you, God is, there's some great things on the horizon for the body of Christ. Can you say amen? For the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom. Hallelujah. Folks, let me just say, God never intended us to be called Christians. This is going to blow your theology. He didn't tell us. A couple of people in the Bible called us Christians. They were heathens that called us Christians. Oh, they're Christians. Those are them Christ people. God never intended us to be called Christians, although we're called Christians. I mean, and Christianity has taken on this weird name because it can be anything, almost anything. Oh, boy. Messing with your theology. And I think, and I'm glad that God allows me to mess with your theology. Can you say amen to that? Because I'll tell you, sometimes he messes with my theology, and I say, oh God, this ain't going to sound good. But I will tell you something. If you're born again, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Is that okay? You have fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is that okay? I'll tell you, that's wonderful. You have fellowship with his Father, can you say amen? In the throne room of God, if you'll go. Can you say amen? Come on, hallelujah. Some of you haven't been there a while, amen? I can tell just by the way you talk. I'm just kidding you. I'm not, you can say, don't change your way you talk to me, all right? Is that okay? Because I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but I'm saying something this morning. God is calling you into the presence. He's calling you. I know that before, a year before that COVID broke out, I remember saying with my mouth, God wants you in the closet. God wants you in the closet. It seemed like every Sunday it would come out. God wants you in the closet. And I started telling the Lord, I said, God, I sound like a busted record. What's going on? Why do I keep saying, why does it keep coming up? He says, because I want them in the closet. I said, okay. And then COVID hit, and I realized why God was saying, I want them to be in the closet. Because he wanted you to prepare for what was coming in. Can you say amen to that? I'll tell you something. Being in the presence of God will prepare you for the things that are unseen that are about to be seen. Is that okay? Are you glad that God is able to do that for you? It's this close connection that God has given us to enter into his presence so that he can lead us and then he can guide us with his words and that he can show us things to come. Can you say amen? Amen. That's a promise that God says, I'll show you things to come. Show you things that are headed towards you. Is that okay? I know. I get on these things right before, and I say, this has nothing to do with a sermon. And I don't think, but maybe it does. I remember driving to Bisbee and going through the back road to Wachuca City. I guess it's, I'm not sure if it's what highway it is. I think it might be 91, 92, whatever. I know it wasn't 80. But anyway, we're driving, and I'm cruising along. Rosie's asleep. And as I'm cruising along, I see this red Ford station wagon, kind of like an old Ford Falcon station wagon. It's got big taillights in the back like that. And I see it. It's got junk in the back, junk on top, and he pulls out right in front of me. And man, I slam on the brakes, and I look over at Rosie, and I put my arm out to hold her. And when I look up, there ain't nothing there. And she wakes up. She goes, "What is wrong with you?" Starts yelling at me. I go, "I said there was a car. I saw the station wagon. It pulled out in front of me." We're kind of having this little bit of, I'm trying to explain myself. And I'm looking at it, and I had slowed down quite a bit because I pretty much almost locked them up. I had slowed down, was getting ready to start taking out, and here comes this red Ford station wagon, pulls out right in front of me. That's what I saw. That's what I saw. You see, God, because of your close connection, he'll show you things to come. He'll help you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We serve a big God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. These things, I don't understand them. But I'm glad that I don't understand them. Because if I understood them, I'd probably tell you how to get there. And then when it didn't work, you're going to say, you're an idiot. Is that right? I'm glad I don't understand how a lot of these things work. but I know that God is good. Can you say amen? I know that my heart is in love with who he is in his spirit and his word, which is his spirit. Could go on forever. But today we're going to talk about, like I said, we're going to talk about y'all. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're going to talk about you. It's a good thing you came. You're going to say, I wish them other folks would have been here because they really need this. But I want to talk to you about what God is saying to me about all of us. Can you say amen? About the body of Christ. The body of Christ. How many are in the body of Christ?
Amen.
You get there by being born again. You can't get there any other way. Hallelujah. I said something that scared you earlier, that we call ourselves Christians, and that's okay. But God never intended to call us Christians.
Right.
He intends to call us sons and daughters of God. His intent, or we are the sons of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say, are you a Christian? I'm a son of God.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, they're going to go nuts on you. No. I'm a son of God. Why? My big brother Jesus? Yeah. He told me that. Come on, man. Hallelujah. See, I'm going to tell you, because sometimes people have a hard time handling truth. And it's things like we're thinking up these things to come up with, and it's not that way. What we're doing is revealing truth. So it sounds so foreign to people that they have a hard time getting hold of it. And that's okay, too. Can you say amen to that? Because we have to speak the truth. Is that okay? That's cool, man. So we're going to talk about you today. We're going to talk about under control. How many knows that we are to be under control? Anybody here ever lost control? Go on. How many lost control yesterday? Yeah. I have lost control. I will say that. And well, I'll save it for later. Because I've got a couple of things that I wrote down about some of my experiences about me being out of control when God expected me to be in control. Can I tell you this, that God expects us to be in control? Can you say that? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. He wants you to be in control.
Yeah.
Problem is, you can't control yourself. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What do they call them people at the airports and they're watching? Air traffic?
Controller.
You need a controller, is that right? Hey, bro, you're too high. Hey, you're too low. Hey, you're coming in fast, is that right? You're coming in too slow. Get your wings out. Can you understand what I'm saying to you? You understand that God is saying, get it under control. Can you say amen? There is an expectation of our Heavenly Father because of what he's done for us. There is an expectation that he has of us, of what he's doing here on the earth through us. Can you say amen to that? You see, God can't be seen but in his people. So what are you displaying? Like Pastor John said this, what is it that you're displaying? What is it? I'm going to have you say something. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, that doesn't look like the kingdom. Look at your other neighbor and say, that doesn't look like the kingdom. Look at me. Look at me and say, that doesn't look like the kingdom. Folks, we are after things. We are after things that look like the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Because what needs to be seen is the kingdom, not who you are. Who cares about who you are? What needs to be seen is the kingdom within you.
Yeah.
Ooh, hallelujah. This will preach. I can go on another subject with this. God needs his kids, his sons and daughters, to be kingdom people.
Yeah.
Ooh, hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing to be in this kingdom. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's look at the word of God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Oh, hallelujah. Did I say Genesis?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Exodus. I'm sorry. Yeah. Come on, that don't look like the kingdom. None does it. Never mind. Exodus chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, okay? Hallelujah. The Word of God says here in Exodus 17, starting at verse 1, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink." Uh-oh. No water. How many say amen? That's an uh-oh. Is that right? Hey, man, we've walked a long way, and we ain't got no water. "Wherefore, the people did chide with Moses." What does chide mean? You know what chide means? They're going to argue with him. They're going to complain. They're going to do something. They're going to say, "Hey, man, what the heck kind of a leader are you?" "And the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.'" How much water do you think Moses was carrying around with him? "Hey, give us water." And I like Moses' answer, because his answer is pretty good, I think. Moses said to them, "Why do you chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" You see, there's something about complaining and blaming that the Lord is not looking for. Is that right? And Moses is you know, he's having to deal with this. I would not like to have been Moses. I would tell you those folks, can I just say this to you, that Moses was not really rehearsed in everything he was about to go through. Is that okay? He did not know. Poor guy. He didn't have the Word of God like we've got today to look at. He didn't have it. It was being lived out with where he's at. Can you say amen to that? Moses was in this position where, man, it was, I'll tell you, you talk about on-the-job training. It was right now, let's go. We got a million people out here, and we need water. What are you going to do, Moses? Well, I'm going to say, you know, why are you tempting the Lord? What was that word that he said to them? He was saying, hey, we saw the works of the Lord. We saw how he does things. Right now, you're testing the Lord, and the Lord, I'm not sure if you should be doing that. I would have loved for Moses to say, I don't know. We need water. Where are we going to get it from? I don't know. But he didn't. He said, hey, man, why are you fighting with me? We belong to him. Remember? Yeah. So he, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is it this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? How easily we forget, is that right? Yeah. We walked through the Red Sea. Yeah. We had walls of water. And the enemy that was coming after us, when we got through walking through, they came through and they got drowned. You bring us out here to kill us of thirst, Moses? And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, what shall I do to this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with you of the elders of Israel, and take your rod wherewith you smote the river, take in your hand and go. Behold, I will stand before you there upon the rock that is in Oreb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Sometimes what you're going through, you want to say, well, is the Lord with me or not? What's going on? Is that right? How many of you have ever done that? There needs to be a place in our heart that says, I belong to the Lord. I am in his kingdom, and in his kingdom, he's going to take care of every need that I have, no matter what. I will wait on the Lord. Can you say amen to that? It is time that we just hold the boat. Is that right? Sometimes our emotions will get way ahead of us. Is that right? Our emotions will push so far ahead that we start thinking things like, God's not hearing me. He's never heard my prayer. I heard somebody tell me that the other day. Well, he's never heard my prayer. I've been praying about this for a long time, and he's never heard your prayer. Well, he heard you the first time you even thought it before you even said it. He heard you. He knew you. He knows you. You need to trust him. Can you say amen? Trust him. That's good. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 20. Verses 1 through 11. They drank. Woo, man, our thirst is good. And Brother Steve brought up a picture of this rock. It was a huge rock, and it's got this big split in the middle. And below it, you could see where there was just rivers, because all the rocks below it are all the dirt is washed out, and it's all rocky. And the rivers that God brought out of that rock, incredible. Can you say amen to that? God is an incredible God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He can do anything he wants to do. Yep. Is that right? Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there. Miriam was Aaron's and Moses' sister. You remember that? She died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. Everybody say, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Here we go again. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses again and spoke, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? Moses, 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 why did you do it, Moses? Why? Is that right? Why? When? Wah. Is that right? Is that okay? Look at your neighbor and say, wah. Come on, man. Get out of it. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Wah. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. Folks, anytime something's going on, that's the place. Fall on your face before the Lord. Go to prayer. Say, Lord, what's going on? What do we need to do? What do you want us to do? And they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses and saying, take the rod. Gather thou the assembly together, you and Aaron your brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Praise God. I love this. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock again. Is that right?
Yep.
God is able to bring water out of rock for you.
That's it.
So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said to them, I'm just going to hold on. Just going to make this moment a little longer for us. Is it okay? Was God angry with these folks when they were murmuring against Moses, though? He wasn't. You see, God knows that they don't understand what he is, and he just needs to show them his kingdom and his glory and what he's intending. So I don't believe that God at all was angry with them or upset with them, because they didn't know. They had honest questions. They had things that they had seen a lot. They should have known better, but they still got some learning. Can I tell you something? We've seen a lot. Can you say amen? But we still got some learning to do. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. How many of you just got it? I got it all. I don't need any more. Yeah. Raise your hand, please. Come on, man. We don't got it. We still need instruction and building and strengthening from the Lord. Can you say amen to that? And God was not angry with these people. He said, I'll show them again. And I'll show them again. They asked Jesus, how many times shall we forgive? He says, 70 times 7. How's that? Just keep giving. See, it shows the heart of God. God wasn't angry with them for asking these things. He would say, man, they're going to get it sooner or later. They're going to understand that I will provide every need that they have. Do you know that the word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, or 1, 2 and 3, it says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given it to you. It's within you. He is a provider like no other provider. He'll give you what you need when you need it. Can you say amen? Oh, come on, hallelujah. Now these people, Moses is getting ready to step up to the rock. He's got a staff in his hand. Is that right, Johnny? He's got a staff in his hand. And Moses is thinking, man, I showed these people the last time. I'm going to show them again. And I like his words. Well, I don't know if I like his words. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels. You bunch of rebels. Rebellious bunch you are. Bunch of whining crybabies. You've seen the works of the Lord. Why should I tell you this? You bunch of rebels." I think Moses was mad. I think he let his emotions go out of control. And he said, "Oh, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Moses wasn't fetching nothing. All he had to do was speak to the rock. "Must we fetch you water out of..." I mean, makes you think that they're going to carry all this water out for him. Moses ain't going to do that. But he's mad. And he tells them that. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. You see, I believe he only hit it once right then. Because it was the second time. The first time he smote it and it brought forth water. The second time he was to speak to it. But he hit it again, so he hit the rock twice. You see, Jesus is not, he's only died once for us. See, Jesus is the rock. How many say amen? That representation right there was the rock. And everything, once the rock split, it provided everything. Is that okay? But Moses, in the heat of the moment, hallelujah, was out of control. And he goes, hey, he hit it twice. And he smote the rock twice, and the water came out just like, you know, God's going to provide. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and all their beasts. But you see, there's a consequence sometimes about when you hear the word of the Lord and you don't do. Is that okay? See, the people didn't hear God tell him, speak to it. They didn't hear him. They didn't know. They didn't realize that Moses was a man just like them. Learning these things. They might have. They must say. God knows that Moses is just a man learning these things. But God thought, let me just say this to you. There is something about who you are when God speaks to you and what he tells you to do that you need to hold on to that and do what he tells you to do. Can you say amen to that? And sometimes it's not easy. And not, sometimes there is consequence. Because we look at the next two verses, I guess 12 and 13, it says this. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron. And he said, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. See, the word the word Meribah, there's two places in Israel that is called Meribah and Massah. It's these two places that they were at. One was in the desert of Sin, one was in the desert of Zin. Meribah means quarrel, provocation, and strife. Massa means tempting, trial, testing. You see, the children of Israel and Moses and Aaron, they all needed to be tested. They all needed to be. But God is upset at Moses, because Moses should know better. Moses was the one that when he'd go up in the presence of God, he'd come down and he had this, he shined. He had the glory of God on him. So much so that they had to put a curtain on his face so he could talk to the people, so the people would look at him, because he was shining. Hallelujah. See, God intends you to shine in this world. Can you say amen to that? But you got to stay under control. I was at a little burrito place down there. What's it called? Rigoberto's. I was at Rigoberto's. And I ordered a beef chorizo burro. You guys remember this? Yeah, you guys remember this. I'm going to tell you. I ordered a beef chorizo burro. And I told the girl, I want a beef chorizo burro. She said, okay. So when I get back, I found out later they don't have beef chorizo. So, but what she gave me was a beef burro. I took one bite and I looked at it and go, that's not what I ordered. So I go back up. I said, sorry, ma'am. I ordered a beef chorizo burro. She goes, no, you didn't. You ordered a beef burro. I said, no, I didn't. I ordered a beef chorizo burro. And she was kind of a big lady. And all of a sudden, it was like she got bigger. You ordered a beef burro. And I looked at it, I go, okay. And I went back and I sat down and I'm eating my beef burro and I'm throwing it down on my plate. I take a bite, throw it down. Rosie's going, calm down. Pick it up, throw it down. And the Holy Spirit said, sometimes you don't get everything you want. Now, is that right, Henry? I said, oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, Lord. I forgot you were late. See, that does not look like the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? See, staying under control. I was a big old. They had done some work on my car, and the car was not wearing out tires. It just needed tires. I got some new tires, and I took it in there. And I said, can you check the alignment for me? And they said, sure. They checked the alignment, and I drove it. Drove it for a couple of months and went to go underneath it to change the oil. And I looked, and the tires they're down to the threads on the inside. On the outside, standing next to the car, they look like brand new tires. But they were worn out on the inside, and they weren't wearing that way. So I drive it back down to Biago, and I tell him, hey, man, you guys, after you guys aligned it, you know, the guy goes, okay, well, he writes it down. And I'm standing in the office. And the manager there, I shouldn't have said big old, but so they're not there anymore. But so the manager says, he goes, put it up on the rack, but he's not getting anything. I heard that. What the heck? So he gets the car up. He goes, sir, can you come and look? And I said, yeah. And he goes, yeah, it's wearing on. I said, yeah, that's why I'm here. It's wearing the insides, and you guys did that. And he says, well, sir, it's bad parts. I said, you guys checked the parts. It wasn't doing that before I come in here. Hey, I need to talk to your manager. So here comes a guy. He looks at it. He goes, not our fault. Let it down. Get out. Woo! Let me tell you, I was hot. My emotions were going out of control. So I go in the office, I said, how much did I owe you to check my car? And I said, I brought this car in here, you made it worse. You wore out my tire. And I'm speaking it as loud as I can. There's people that are sitting over in the waiting area over there. I'm letting them know that Big O is not the place to be. And you are messed up. They're going to mess you up, man. And I said, man, you. And the guy said, get out of my store. Get out of my store. I'm getting out. I'm getting out. Oh, everybody say that does not look like the kingdom. You see, I belong to the kingdom of God, but I wouldn't have said it in there. Hey, I'm a Christian, guys. I belong to God's kingdom. I wouldn't have said no, because I was hot. I got to the door. Guess who's decided to talk again? The Holy Ghost. He said, very nice, Henry, very nice. The whole group saw you. Man, it's something, folks. Can I just say something? God does expect more out of us than that. Can you say amen? And let me tell you, how many of you heard that scripture that says, be angry and sin not? You ever heard that scripture? It's in Ephesians, I think. Well, you see, I would use that scripture to hide behind. Well, the word says, I'm not sinning, but I'm mad. Well, God, what if God don't want you mad? What if he doesn't want you angry? Is that right?
Right.
What if God desires more out of you than anger? Ooh, come on, man. We're talking about us. Is that right? Look at your neighbor and say, they're talking about you now. Rosie, they're talking about you. We're talking about you, Rosie. Come on. Oh, yeah. We're talking about all of us, man. Can you say amen to that? How many of you have experienced your emotions getting way out of control? And your mouth goes with it. Yeah, is that right? You start saying things you really shouldn't have said. Because you're within you, you're out of control. So now your mouth is going to start saying things just to justify what's going on within you. Well, they deserved it, God. Oh, is that right? Is that what we're doing here, young man? Is that right? Is that what I'm doing in your life? Is that what I did this for? You see, if I think back, if I look at these things, if I really look at them, it is God working with me. I know you like chorizo beef, chorizo. But you ain't going to get it today, Hank. I know they wore out your car. But I'm able to provide for you whatever you need. You see, God's working with me. Can you say amen to that? He is desiring that we be who we are. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Just look at some of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9 says this. Be not hasty in your spirit to be angry. For anger rests in the bosom of what? A what?
Fool.
What's he calling us if we're angry all the time?
A fool.
Man, you fool, bro. Can you say that?
Wow.
Look at the neighbor and say, I don't want to be no fool. Hey, drop the anger, man. Is that okay? We need to understand these things because God is saying, I've got a kingdom that's in the earth and it needs to be shining through you. And it can't shine if you're always being a fool.
That's right.
Ooh. See, I am coming after anger because God dealt with my anger.
Right.
He's dealt with me. The righteousness of God, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. It just doesn't. It's the total opposite of it. Whew. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. This is our key verse for today. He that is slow to anger. How many of you say you're slow to anger? You just got a long fuse is all you got. You got a long fuse. Some of us got short fuses. Is that right? You just got a long fuse. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Do you see that? It's not that we are, can I just tell you something? You're better than mighty people. You are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. You're a king. Hallelujah. You know, and I just please don't get hung up on gender. Is that okay? Ladies, you're a king. Guys, we are the bride of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't get hung up on gender. We're the bride. Ladies, you're the bride. Ladies are easy. That's good with them, right? But tell the guys that. You're the bride of Christ. He goes, whatever, man. Well, it's the word of God. So, see, because we get hung up on gender, but the fact of the matter is, the Son of God dwells in us.
Amen.
Is that okay? Remember who you are. Don't forget it, and don't release it, and don't let it go. Hold to it. When these things come up, when your emotions are being pushed on and pushed on and pushed on, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And then it says, he that rules his spirit. See, this is what we're doing. We need to rule our spirit. Can you say amen to that? You say, no, I'm not going there. Uh-uh. When that lady rose up, I went down. I ruled my spirit. I'm going to go sit down. But I was not happy. But see, God still wasn't, that's not what he wanted. He didn't want me to back down. He wanted me to be who I was in the moment. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Luke chapter 9, 51 through 56. You remember the sons of thunder? Remember those guys?
Yeah.
Came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. Jesus was getting ready to die on the cross. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. His intent was to head for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a city, a village of the Samaritans, to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he was going to Jerusalem. They said, he's not interested in staying in our city. He just wants to stop by here and then head on to Jerusalem. So they weren't interested in receiving him. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, remember what they call those guys? Sons of what? Thunder. They said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them. Can you say amen to that? And he said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You see, here's a nice word for you. See, your anger and your emotions and all that thing, I mean, they are a spirit that rises up within you. Can you say amen to that? An angry spirit, a jealous spirit. All these different kind of emotions that might try to raise up out of these feelings that come up out are ungodly and not the kingdom. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, that doesn't look like the kingdom. That, what those guys were displaying was not the kingdom of God that Jesus was preaching. Jesus was going around preaching the kingdom. And these guys want to cast fire, call fire down out of heaven to burn a bunch of guys just because they wouldn't provide him a place to stay. Jesus said, you don't realize what spirit you are in. You are in a spirit that is contrary to the very thing that I'm trying to do. I have come not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's life. Do you get it, guys? Are you getting it? Okay, Lord. You see, we get upset and we get burnt. We want to take revenge. Is that right? How many call it sweet revenge? Why do they call it sweet? Because it feels good. Is that right? You get a little revenge on what was happening, right? And God says, no, you don't get revenge on nobody because revenge is mine. You just submit yourself. You commit yourself to me is what God says. This is something that we need to learn because we are the kingdom on the earth and we cannot be going around chewing people out, cussing people out. Yeah, come on, man. Getting in your face here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, verse 32 says this. Look at Jesus said, you don't realize what kind of spirit you are. And here's what God says. This is what I have. This is kingdom right here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know how many know that what's in your heart will generally work out of your mouth? So it's going to have to be even a little deeper than just being in your mouth. But let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Is that what Jesus said? I came to save and not to destroy. Build up. Is that right? That it may minister grace to the hearers and grieve not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, amen? When I call these out, say amen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you. What does away from you mean? I'll put it on the shelf till I need it? No, man, it means get it away. Push it out. Is that right? Yeah. Like a rattlesnake? Get it out. Get it away from me. Put it away from you. With all malice. And be what? Kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. See, this is tenderheartedness. How many know that God is good?
Amen.
How many know the fruit of the Spirit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. See, this is God. This is the kingdom. Meekness and temperance, against such there is no law. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God. There's no law against the Spirit of God. Can you say amen to that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is this law, part of this law, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Is that right? I'm going to read it in the NIV for John, because he likes to read it in the John. He wants me to read it in the NIV. So it says, let the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. What is forbearance? You be patient with people. Can you say amen to that? You be loving while you're being patient. Is that right? Come on, man. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Is that right?
Yeah.
And now look at this word, self-control. Is that all right?
Yep.
Against such things, there is no law. What do we call this? The fruit of what? The fruit of the Spirit. This is the display rack that God wants in our lives. He wants these are beautiful, folks. You got to admit, these are beautiful things. Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. These are all fruit of the Holy Spirit that is within you. It's not something you have to generate. See, you can't generate these things. You have to leave your life and say, you know what? Myself, I've got to die. Is that okay? How many are into dying? Yeah. Well, Henry, you keep telling us we're going to live forever. Yeah, but you got to die first. Is that right? You got to die first. The seed that has to go into the ground and die, and then it produces. Can you say amen to that? You see, you got to die. But I don't want to die. I want to yell at him. I want to scream at him. Well, you got to die. Get it out of you. Let love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because against those, there is no law. Isn't that cool? Very cool. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this. Oh, this is why. Because for as many as led by the Spirit of God. See, Jesus said, hey, you don't know what spirit you're of. But now we know what the Spirit should look like. Can you say amen? Love, joy, peace. And it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what?
Sons
of God. Amen. Folks, the kingdom of God is full of sons. Full of kings and full of priests. That's us. Can you say amen? Is that what people are seeing when they look at you? If not, go to the Father and say, I need an adjustment, God. I need another adjustment. When Big O happened to me, I needed an adjustment. Can I tell you that? And he gave me one right away. I didn't get out of the door. He said, nice job, bro. I said, oh, God, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, see, that's not what he's looking for. Can you say amen to that? Can you stand? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Next time, I'm going to place this word on your heart, if you will, if you'll let me. Next time you get mad, let this thought come to you that says, that is not the kingdom. Let it flow up. Yep. It's going to frustrate you a few times because you're going to want to be mad.
Right.
You're going to want to retaliate. But the kingdom of God, God says, I will provide all your needs. So whatever it is that's causing you to rise up like that, say, that's not the kingdom. Love, peace, joy, trusting the Lord. Knowing what the Lord has said, that's what the kingdom looks like. And I make my commitment to walk that way. How many say amen to that? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, that you spoke to our hearts this morning. God, that you gave us, Father God, some instruction this morning. Lord, that we are to be what you have called us to be. Lord, that we no longer, Father God, no longer... take your name in vain because we're not being who you've called us and created us to be. So, Father, help us, lead us, guide us, strengthen us in these things. We thank you for it this morning. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
When you say amen, jump a little bit. Ready? Everybody ready? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a good week. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't get mad.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.